You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Well, when Pastor Gerber and I went over the preaching schedule earlier this year, I was immediately looking forward to something: preaching on Palm Sunday for the first time. The triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, the stuff we just witnessed with the kids and the song, the people shouted, "Hosanna! Save, please, Hosanna, save us now." So for the last few weeks, while driving around or doing the dishes or those times when you kind of are thinking, I've been thinking about, what am I going to preach on? I've got so many things to preach on. The significance of Jesus, as the kids talked about riding in on a lowly donkey and not some big warrior stallion. So many wonderful directions this sermon could go. And then Monday morning happened. As I looked at the lectionary readings, I couldn't believe my eyes. The gospel reading, which we just heard, didn't start at verse 9. Began at verse 20. Well, by verse 20, the entry and the hosannas have all just kind of faded away. Faded away to something very different. But faded away to something familiar. Jesus' teaching. You see, by this time, it's obvious where this is all headed. A few months earlier, he had healed a man born blind in public, for all to hear and to see on the Sabbath in Jerusalem. And just a few weeks earlier, before this triumphant entry, Jesus had in public for all to hear and to see, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, in a little town called, begins with B, Bethany. A little town called Bethany. So these two events, well, they changed everything. The Pharisees and religious leaders whose grip on the people was being threatened, they moved from being agitated and arrogant to being murderous. Verse 20, it's either still Palm Sunday, or some scholars believe it might have been Monday or Tuesday of Holy Week. The bottom line is Jesus is listening and Jesus is teaching. The parade is definitely over. Perhaps some or most of the excitement has almost completely tamped down, but not all of it. There's still a buzz. There's still the dead, and there's certainly a buzz about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. People wanted to see Jesus. Even Greeks, Gentile Greeks, who had come to worship and celebrate the Passover feast. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, and who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Interestingly enough, some Greek Gentiles did have a great desire to see Jesus. They were monotheistic people. They believed in one God. Yes, most Greeks were God-fearing people, and they were attracted to the monotheism and the morality of Judaism. But most were not fully converted. There was this little thing called circumcision that prevented it. But it didn't stop them from, at least it's what Greeks did. Of course they wanted to see Jesus in this background. Could this be the one true God that they have been searching for? So the request goes to Philip. Philip goes and talks to Andrew. Philip and Andrew together go see Jesus, and he listens. When Jesus heard the request, just Philip and Andrew. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Did Philip and Andrew realize the significance of this statement? Well, we aren't sure. Perhaps, and even likely, it would have taken Pentecost, but we can understand. No longer is Jesus saying, "My hour has not come," which he did so many times over his 3 years of ministry. No, this time he reveals that indeed his hour has come. Has come to do what exactly? Well, Jesus says, to be glorified. Well, what does that mean? To be. The answer that Jesus gives Philip and Andrew, he's just talking to them, is very different than the way they would have looked at glory, and it's also very different from the way you and I would look at glory today. No, Jesus isn't glorified by palm branches on his way into. I'm lost. I need to be found. Where am I? Oh my. Hosannas. Glorified, palm branches. Let's start this over. He is not glorified by palm branch. He's not glorified by hosannas. He's not glorified by photo ops like some of the Greeks probably wanted. No, Jesus is glorified by the cross, on the cross. 12:32. Earth will draw all people to myself, and Jesus is glorified also by his burial. A burial we see in verse 23, and it's unique. It's a unique reply that Jesus gives Philip and Andrew, a reply he wanted them to relay to the Greeks who were so fascinated to see. Truly, truly. And anytime Jesus says truly, truly, he's basically saying, if you haven't listened to anything that I've said, listen to this. So listen to this. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Buried to reveal his glory. Like a grain of wheat buried in the ground, waiting to burst forth. Burst forth with new life. The hour has come to show the world who God really is. The triumphant entry might have seemed glorious, but real glory came only through being humbly lifted up on a cross and being laid in a tomb. The hour has come to die. The hour has come to be buried. And only then does resurrection fruit explode. That resurrection fruit that he was talking about explode outward in all its glory. Salvation for the world. Salvation for the Greeks. Salvation for you and salvation for me. 5 weeks ago, we began our walk with Jesus to the cross using all of the Old Testament lectionary readings. Our walk with Jesus all the way to the grave last week. But it was way back in Genesis 3 that the salvation narrative began. It began there because it was in Genesis 3 that something entered the world. And what was that? Sin. Can't help us understand just what had happened. You might remember it. Well, it's not my fault, he, or it's not my fault, she. Passing the buck. Well, this week, another old saying might be able to help us. Perhaps you've heard of this one too. It's time to be kind of like this baby. It's sharp too. It's time to bury the hatchet. It's another old phrase, and I mean, it's really old. It says it's at least 1600s old and maybe older. It was then that there was an old settler who wrote in a diary, and he witnessed when the Native Americans had conflicts and they were at war and there was finally going to be peace. He witnessed them doing something. Burying the hatchet. Well, what does burying the hatchet mean? To end a conflict, to forgive, to make peace, and to move on. Sounds kind of like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus ended a conflict between good and evil. He ended a conflict between sin and forgiveness. He ended a conflict between chaos and peace. He ended a conflict between being trapped in the brokenness of this world and moving on. He's moved on. And he kept moving on. All the way to the cross, all the way to the grave. But what about us? We kind of get stuck bearing the hatchet, don't we? Get stuck not being able to move on. We have all kinds of things that we can bury, should bury, or we don't bury them. Things that don't belong in a Christian's life. So what is it that you need to bury? Need to give to God, I mean powerfully and wonderfully, revealed, not hidden by sin and ugliness in your life. What is it that you need to bury? Maybe it's pride. Maybe you're holding a grudge against someone. Maybe there's some bitterness in your life that you can't get past, or you're angry. Can't get past it, or you don't have control, you lose your self-control, or you're a gossiper, or you're sinful in all the comforts of this world, or maybe addictions, alcohol or drugs, pornography, social media, even food. That just keeps coming back. thinking about it? What do you need to bury today? Today. Like right now. Paul's going to help us out with a little music here. As we think through, what do you need to bury? You can go to that next slide. What do you need to bury today? Thank you. So I'm going to give you a chance. Y'all have either yellow or pink or blue slips in the pew. Just like that. You get pencils there. Maybe you have a pen in your purse. Look at that question. What do you need to bury today? Write it down. One thing. If you're at home listening, get a piece of paper out. Well, this is what I'm going to do with mine. I'm going to crumple it up good. Then I'm going to come up here. I'm going to put it on top of this big old pile of dirt. Now it's your turn. This is not communion style. Just come up. Toss it in the dirt. Jesus wants all of your sins. He wants to help you. He wants to bury them for you. And he will. Nothing that Jesus can't handle. He is love. You've done a wonderful job of traffic flow up here. I'm very impressed. Up yet. We've got time. I need some help. Zane, where are you? There he is. I need someone big and strong, not me. I need someone to help bury these sins, these things that we struggle with. There's a wheelbarrow right over there. See it? You want to go grab it and bring it over here? Can you just bury all of those, please? Like, just bury them. We can vacuum later, okay? Get you a little closer. Kind of like that. Okay, there you go. You're doing awesome. That's a pretty wiggly wheelbarrow I've got, isn't it? Awesome job. Thank you. Looking good. Oh, yeah. One more scoop. One more scoop. Right there. That baby. Wheel that baby over there again, Zane. That'd be awesome. The Greeks came to see Jesus, didn't they? But if they didn't stay until Sunday, well, they certainly would have been very disappointed. Because they would have seen Jesus arrested on Maundy Thursday, sweating blood with the weight of the world on his shoulders, asking his Father if there's any other way. But there wasn't. They would have seen Jesus on trial in the middle of the night before the religious leaders spitting on him, pulling his beard out, punching him in the back. They would have seen on Friday Jesus being lashed with jagged bones and ripping his flesh apart. If they didn't stay till Sunday. If they didn't stay till Sunday, they would have seen Jesus carrying his own cross on Friday, stumbling and bumbling. If they only stayed till Saturday, they would have been disappointed seeing Jesus nailed to the tree, disappointing seeing Jesus raised up from the earth and hanging from that tree, and then disappointed seeing Jesus buried in the tomb. They only had stayed till Sunday, the disappointment would not have lasted, would have it? Not if they stayed until Sunday. Sunday morning, when a new glory burst forth from the grave. Sing with us.
In the ground his body lay, light of the world in darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
When we bury what we need to die, the same glory that burst out of the tomb of Jesus burst out in us, for us. New hearts, new fruit, new life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.